Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
It's Wednesday fucking night, everybody. You know what that is? That's Survivor Season 41. Johnny Fairplay. I know everyone gets pissed when Johnny goes on his viewing party escapades and is mad that they don't see him on the podcast. So for those people, Johnny Fairplay is here. He's back, joined by Alex Trias, who's holding down the fort with me when Johnny is gone.
I'm back next week, too.
And you're back next week. And, man... a lot of things going on in the world of Survivor. First of all, Johnny and Alice, I can't believe we're episode 7 already.
Yeah.
That blows my mind.
Well, you know whose else mind it blows? Russell Hance's mind, because he don't understand what's going on. He's got these notes he took down. Okay, so he stopped watching halfway through the premiere, but he hears people talking, so he's going to talk about it. And he's watching, so he knows what he's talking about. But he don't understand what's going on. There's two people alone on a try. It don't make no sense. He don't know what's going on. But he's gonna make. You know what? Survivor made Survivor great again when it stopped putting a Hance on there.
Mm. Facts.
Just you know that's interesting. So I know. Let's just get real here. So. Episode 5, when it was Liana and Shan on the top of the mountain doing the thing, and there was a tribal where they voted out Jeannie. I was not a big fan of the episode. I don't like three tribes. I don't like a small tribal council, whatever. Then last week, we're seeing confessionals of other players, and we're learning about people, etc., but there's no fucking tribal council.
Yes.
Erica, who's kind of been worthless this whole season, has this... it's not even a fucking dilemma. She can either break the hourglass or not. You, Johnny, were at a live event last week. Anytime there's no tribal, it sucks. That's the whole point. That is like the when I didn't get to go on stage with my cast on Survivor Karamoan, there was zero closure to my experience of Survivor. That is like an episode of Survivor when there's no tribal, there's no closure.
It's sex without the finish.
It is. Can you imagine that? That's like just like taking a fucking blue chew and not being able to fucking
just finish
the finish the deed or whatever. So, how was the vibe last week, Johnny, at your viewing party with no tribal and this hourglass deal? We've spoke off camera about this over the last week. Doesn't seem like you're a big fan of that.
No, none of us were. I mean, it's for a viewing party. It sucks. It's just like if you have a clip, that's the end of hour one of a 2-hour episode.
Right.
Yeah. So sorry, tough as nails. You know, you don't get your Boston Rob World Star Hip Hop preview this week. Actually, instead you go, hey, it's Boston Rob. There's no tough as nails tonight, but it's back next week. World Star.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Boom. We're good.
We got Ricard this time, though.
What's that?
We got Ricard this time as the promo.
We did get Ricard.
Yeah. Ricard was tough as nails tonight.
I don't understand this, Ricard. Holy moly.
Oh, my God.
I mean, I honestly thought I was watching like a deleted scene from Idiocracy. watching his fucking YouTube video.
Well, here's the thing. He said that he wasn't gonna like make any videos on it.
Yes.
Him not making content is the best content he can provide everyone.
But he's made like four.
I'm so butthurt. But I'm gonna call all you butthurt when I get called out for my bullshit.
Yeah.
Well, he's so something. I haven't seen it.
I mean, I feel like it makes this podcast so much better in comparison. So I'm just like, keep it up.
Oh yeah.
Absolutely. I was like, hey, if you hate that, you'll love this.
And like Matt, like we're being real here. It was like, yeah, last episode, horrible on its own. If you had a 2 hours of what happened tonight in with this, maybe they were fearing like, oh, that's gonna be too much. That's not too much.
No.
That's like watching like an Avengers movie right there. You're just like, you're getting all the action all the time for like 2 hours. There's like, you get the full story. Instead, you're like, oh, here's part one. Come back a year later for part two.
Yeah. Now, if they had put it, it would have been like watching one out of every three episodes of Australian Survivor.
Yeah.
Well, the interesting thing is we didn't get any tribal last week, but we got, I was like, what time is it? I asked my son that. He's like, it's like 8:32 and tribal was starting. I'm like, what the fuck is going to go down? So we are into episode 7. So let's start from the beginning here because
it starts previously on Survivor, but he doesn't say previously on Survivor.
It's because they needed Evie to say it.
I would have settled for anyone saying it.
But here's the thing with this.
But we got it.
Yeah.
So I'm obviously, as well as you guys and the people listening to a fucking podcast, are Survivor connoisseurs that actually want content. They want the deep dives. They're digging in further than just watching the show, right? So when you're doing this previously on Survivor, I feel like that's more for the casual viewer. Might have missed a couple episodes, so they're trying to catch up on this episode.
Even if you watch all the episodes and, you know, like one night you're making dinner while you're watching it, or another night, you know, the dog knocks over the plant while you're watching it. There's a lot of shit going on.
Yeah.
I mean, Russell Hans had no clue what was going on.
And he knows everything that makes Survivor great. How could he not follow?
Everything that makes
But the great. Thing is, so usually though, Johnny.
It's a lot of shit though. It's more shit than it's ever been. So honestly, like, I feel like I'm a smart guy, smart human being.
Yes,
smart homo sapien, resident of planet Earth. I feel like I'm intelligent. I appreciated all the updates on not only the idols, but the advantages and the alliances. There was a lot of shit going on right there. So I'm cool with that. Like, they haven't done it all season. They've earned all this equity of not using previously ons, you know, to tell you what you missed last week. So to give us like, you know, a mid-season recap of where we're at, if that's all we get, I'll take it.
Honestly, I feel like people wouldn't complain as much about all the advantages if they just put that at the beginning of each episode. Like, oh, previously on, this advantage. Okay, we now know where all the advantages are.
I mean, I'm completely on a different end of the spectrum. And when I watch this, I'm like, dude, I'm like, what is going on? Like, if I'm putting myself into somebody that's not a huge fan, that's a casual watcher. Yeah, well, we had to say this broccoli phrase and Nasir saying the goats on AstroTurf. And I would be like, what in the utter fuck are they talking about? If I'm used to watching
regular Survivor.
Old Survivor, right? Like seasons past, and I'm watching this, I'm going to be like, what fucking show am I watching? I was just like, I like seeing the Alliance shit, but for me, I was just like, what? They're trying to explain the shit. I'm like, I do a fucking podcast on this, but I don't even know what the hell they're all talking about.
Would you have rather them not show anything and just go straight into it and have everyone just be mad again about, I didn't even know this person had this advantage and this one and this what's it?
Well, at least they have the little thing at the bottom of the screen that tells what people have. Anyway, I'm just saying they packed a lot of shit into it.
They did. And it's the mid-season. Right? We're not going to get another one until the finale.
Yeah. So right before the Heather boot at final six.
Oh, sweet. she's bringing a lot to the table. Do you remember?
Hey, she got a part here.
Okay. Dude, I mean, I'm even telling my kids. I was like, I mentioned Heather. They're like, "Who's Heather?" Right. I have no idea who Heather is. Is that the one?
She's a queen.
That's like, no, that's Tiffany. That's the. Yeah, they're no, like, "Who's it. Heather?" Then I sat there looking up on my phone and show them like, "Oh, I don't even know who that is."
I feel like, the editors, they don't like Tiffany that much, but they haven't. I think it was. I'm guessing it's like halfway through the season when they realize they're like, "Oh shit, Heather and Tiffany are two different people." Like I feel like they've been like, "Oh, we're a little heavy on the Tiffany edit," but I mean, you know. And then they're like, "That was both of them together." And it's just like, no, that was just we didn't even show. It's like, oh my god, it's just a complete fuck up.
And then they were like, "Okay, she fucked up on that one challenge. We'll give her all the airtime for that. That equals it out."
Yeah. No.
Well, so from one of our viewers right now on YouTube, Dirk Diggler said, "My mom watched her first episode tonight and she followed it just fine."
She came in happy for the season.
That's good. That's great because that's.
But wait, I thought they were losing viewers.
Yeah, well, we'll see.
They just gained one. They gained one.
Yeah. So we go
for the record, as far as the ratings are concerned.
Oh yeah, it's stupid argument.
It's on the same scale. Like it is less viewers.
Yeah,
but if you look at the sliding scale of network and cable number ratings for the past 4 years, it's on the exact same scale. It's still number one. It's still winning the demo. It's still number one for the night.
Right. Like, I think people who use that as an argument don't understand what television has been doing for the last decade. And it's as more people cut the cord, there's going to be less numbers. It's not necessarily that less people are watching, but they're finding other mediums to watch it.
Well, let me ask you this, Fair Play. Pearl Islands, how many people were watching mid-season every week?
I want to say like 20 million, but we had over 30 million for our finale.
But yeah, it's a different time.
Yeah, I know. I'm just putting it in perspective. So 5 million people. So when people act like, "Are you famous after Survivor now?" No. When Johnny was on, it created a whole brand for Johnny Fairplay. When Lex Vandenberg and Big Tom, the stories that they have, they made a lot of money post-Survivor just by signing autographs. I mean, and if you want to hear more about the in-depth behind-the-scenes stuff, please, if you're a fan of this podcast, the best way to support it is to become a patron. That's where you get all the inside scoops. And if you're a fan of Ricard and a fan of Survivor, you're going to be happy with the new tier. Johnny Fairplay, explain to those people what our Patreon is.
Well, we just have tons of bonus content. We do a weekly Q&A and then our Australian coverage. And then we have a monthly game night. And, you know, anytime any of the patrons want to reach out to me, you know, to look over their audition videos, any of the for advice and stuff like that, just hit me up. So to become a patron, go to adfreensfw.com. That's adfreensfw.com. And there's different tiers, and one of the tiers is the Outcast tier. And every month you get 4 autographed pictures from random survivors. And this month is Crystal from Gabon, Michelle Chase from Gabon, Brian Corinder from Guatemala, and Ricard, our winner of our first individual immunity winner for season 41. And if you noticed, the immunity necklace had the immunity bong made into it. So the immunity bong t-shirt, of course, available at Johnny Fairplay.
As well as the Pretty Ricard t-shirts.
Yes, the pretty, well, so I'm trying to think. I'd like to give away an autographed Ricard picture. I think now would be a good time to do so. So we'll look over here at the comments, and what adjective does Ricard use to describe himself as seen on the shirt at JohnnyFairplay.com?
Yeah, well, there you go.
Shoot me over your. First one to answer correctly, I guess. I mean, anyone can answer.
Yeah, anyone can.
Yes. So, but the first one that gets it right, I'll get your info and mail this to you tomorrow morning.
Dude, what a bonus. Yeah. So we go to Exile Island, you guys. Night 13, it's raining and shitty. And I, even though this really has no real significance other than the fact that it's rainy and shitty, which shows how bad the weather can be on Survivor. And then it goes to the next morning where Erica is saying how Survivor is a dream come true. Even a shitty day on Survivor is, you know, better than a normal day because playing Survivor's the greatest thing of all time. Yeah. And she's becoming the most authentic version of herself. So, Johnny, I mean...
is she? Yeah. She's new and profound, Erica. She's gonna yell it all day long. Like, yeah. She's like the shitty version of King George from Australian Survivor.
Which, like, I haven't seen yet, but
just her self-reflection. Do you like King George, Alex?
I don't compare these two people at all, though.
Well, no, they're the exact, like she's like, I'm new and profound. Erica's like, okay, whatever. And George is like, I'm King George. I'm new and profound. And it's like, all right, George is new and profound. Let's see where this leads. I'm in control of everything. Bottom of my alliance. I call the shots.
Yeah, I'm going to refrain from like giving my thoughts on this because I want Nat to have his experience when he gets to that season. But I can understand that, like, from people who's like, if you're not getting a lot of Erica all season, then suddenly you're just getting Erica. It's like, you're obviously, people are going to just assume like she's a bad player. She doesn't have good reads. It's like, so it is what it is. Like, we don't have the content, unfortunately, to really know her full thing. So we can only go based what we see. But she pretty much buries the lead, which everyone knew this was what decision she was going to make. She was like, this is the first chapter of a new book. You could have thought that meant exile. No, that means I smashed that fucking hourglass immediately after Jeff left.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I was about to say, if she hadn't smashed it by the time it started, like, it's pouring down rain, and she's like, fuck this. Fuck life. Fuck this fucking game. Fuck this fucking hourglass.
Mm-hmm. So, well, like, I wouldn't.
If she even waited that long,
like, I would have just had Jeff mad at me. If I was in her shoes, I would have smashed it too, and I would have just been like looking at him. He's trying to say all of his lines. I'm gonna be like, hey, could you wait 1 second? What happens now?
Yeah. What would have been awesome is if she would have smashed the hourglass and got a gigantic shard of glass in her hand that cut her so bad that she had medevac, boom, you're done. But fuck.
Well, I mean, Jeff didn't even leave her a choice, to be honest.
No.
Like, even if she was like, oh, I don't know, maybe, is that really? Like, he comes here, he's just like, you can only make history by changing history. I mean, like, he's just like, you know what to do, right? Do I have to turn off this camera and literally tell you what to do? Because I feel like I am already.
See, this is why we needed Nasir to be in this spot. Because that would have just been comedy.
Yes.
The greatest scene
ever. It would have been just like, you see all these rules. This is going to save your game. Yes, I understand that. So you're going to smash it. Nope.
No. I believe in the integrity of the game. That is Nasir.
I love Nasir.
I love Nasir too. I wish I would have seen more Nasir tonight. But yeah, there is no choice but to smash it. So we go into this immunity challenge, which is up on this hill on the island. It's a beautiful scene. And Erica walks in. And she kinda...
Real quick, I thought you might catch this of all people, Matt.
Yes.
So you know that Alex, I guess Alex and you both know very well that I'm definitely paying attention to music in certain instances. Yeah. And when Erica walks, makes her last walk up the stair, there's a guitar riff that sounds like a lion's roar.
Ah. Oh, yeah.
So because what was name last week's episode?
Oh, it's like
Now Become a Lion or something.
Yeah, it was
that's pretty cool. I love this.
Ready to play like a lion.
Ready to play like a lion. So that last step, the guitar riff is almost a lion's. It's representative of a lion's roar. And so I thought that was pretty cool. And that then you see the new and profound Erica.
Yes, and she,
which I don't care about.
So she's kind of telling about her experience on Exile, talks about, you know, this potential hourglass deal. And then Jeff then explains the entire twist to the whole tribe, where everyone's kind of like shocked, like, oh, fuck, what's going to go down? You know what I mean? And when he asks, what decision did you make? And Johnny, I think you might have thought, is Erica that good enough of a person to fucking smash it or not? Were you surprised?
My whole argument was she's done nothing up until this moment. Mm-hmm. What makes us think that she's going to be good enough to do something good in this moment? Mm-hmm. But as I said, like going back and watch and, you know, especially seeing, I don't know if they should the same thing twice or if they added, you know, this week to the, you know, with the conversation, but Jeff laid it on so thick. I'm just like, okay, she can read between the lines. This is what she should do for, like, they're giving you a moment here. Run with the, like, production has people they like.
Here's my question. So we
basically, I don't really like her, but like they liked whoever was in that spot. Yeah. I mean, I think they would have loved Nasir.
Do you think that off camera production said, you, Erica, you pretty much need to smash this hourglass?
Well, I don't think they need to.
I think Jeff said what he said, and she was like, "I got it." And then afterwards, they do the confessional. Is like, "So what?" And she's like, "Oh, I don't know if you saw Jeff, but Jeff was like, you should smash it," is what I got from that.
Mm-hmm. So. And then they're like, she has no choice. Else.
Yeah, there's no other choice.
No, I mean, especially the second part of a to be continued. No tribal council survivor. Mm-hmm. To not have if it begins with, yeah, I decided not to do anything. It's just like, fuck you. Like, she doesn't take, survivor takes the hit for that. It's just like, dude, you guys are scumbags. You knew she didn't do that and you left and we didn't get a tribal. No way.
Right. And it's like no offense to her, but it's like, at this point in the season, based off what they're showing us, the story that they're telling us, they're not wasting 2 hours for an Erica boot.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah. So Deshaun says, you know, this is not the game that I'm used to seeing, but I wasn't expecting this.
That's the nicest way he could say it.
Is he a professional kiss ass?
Yeah.
Like, I mean, I think I want to be his best friend. I don't think he'll ever say anything mean to me. Mm-hmm. So because, like, I mean, like, he's legitimately pissed. He's just like, well, I mean, you know, anything can happen, right? If he's season 41, there's lots of changes. This is one.
Like, you could tell through so many like comments or like backhanded comments about this twist. Like, all these people are just like, Jeff.
Yeah.
Come on, man.
This is bullshit.
Like, well, we get it.
Danny's like, this is some bullshit. Like,
I know, I love that. I was like, I wrote in my notes, Danny speaks for the audience.
Yes. Mm-hmm. Yeah. So no, it's I mean, it had to be done for, you know, because you made it an option. So not doing the option is just a letdown. Yeah. But if I'm out there and I would have been like, go fuck yourself. Mm-hmm. Like, not only did we win, that chick didn't win. She lost so much, no one wanted her.
Yeah.
It's like, why are we rewarding that?
Yeah.
That's worse than a participation trophy.
Mm-hmm. I know, especially on this season, because like, I've been like doing gymnastics in my head of like trying to make sense of why some things are so hard to get while some are just like handed to you. And I was just like, oh, that's like their theme. They're like, it takes so much to gain something, but you can lose it immediately. Like, that's their theme this season. It's like, as hard as you work to get something and strive for something, it can almost instantaneously be taken away. But I'm like, she didn't lose anything. She got a rock, got sent there. Yeah. She was on the winning tribe the entire time. And then you're like, oh, you want safety again? Break this.
Yeah. Well, I will say that, like, to me, her decision to do this, there's like zero blood on her hands. I don't think anyone's like pissed at her or even fucking cares, honestly.
Like, they're pissed, but they're also just like, I think all of them understand the situation.
Yeah.
Well, I think it's one of those that, like we would have hated Survivor if she hadn't broke the glass. They hate Survivor for putting this stupid twist in there to begin with.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah, the twist is, I mean, there's been a lot of comments on social media, like, what is the point of competing and winning if it's just going to get turned away? Why even have the fucking challenge? I
mean, at the end of the day, they're making a television show. Yeah. I mean, I felt as a 2-hour piece, putting, you know, everything together and all that, it was a fun 2 hours.
I agree.
Just put them back to back.
If that's the end game, then they They were correct.
Yep. No, I hear
you. I understand, you know, the integrity of the game and all that shit. But fuck it. Like, they ain't making integrity of the game. They're making a fucking television show.
Right.
Kudos. They're making now, a good TV show.
This is the foot fetish challenge.
Yes.
Yes.
Holy moly.
Feet only.
How much footage am I going to take of Sydney for, like, you know? You know,
so you have to untie this rope and then create three levels.
Did you see Sydney?
Yes.
Holy moly. I felt like this was like PG-13.
So what do you guys think? Let's just talk about this. So
I thought Sydney was great.
But do you guys feel that they should have their bathing suits on Survivor?
I feel like they have their bathing suits. I think they all had their bathing suits.
No, it looked like they had a different change of clothes.
Yeah,
they did. Yeah, it looked to me like Sydney had her underwear on.
We got ours at the merge on Pearl Islands.
Because I know there was a bunch of things with poverty and people on the internet this week saying like, nah, it's not cool. I did not notice people having their bathing suits. In general, what do you guys think about them not giving? Because we saw Sydney in that RC-esque leopard print bikini in her cast photos.
I think you should have both. I mean, like, for sanitary reasons, I think you should have both.
I agree.
Mean, like I get they want to show girls and guys in their underwear. Mm-hmm. They're still going to run around in their underwear. It's not going to change.
Word of advice. But don't let Tyler Perry produce your show.
Yeah. I mean.
And if you want to take it from Australian Survivor, people go naked and piss off of challenges.
They have like four pairs of clothes.
Yeah.
Like
and it doesn't detract from the idea of
I need them to be in their underwear so it's realistic. I'm like, this is a fucking reality show. We know it's a reality show.
You have Jeff explaining to us that it's a reality show as they're walking up. This is a reality show, and coming up is no tribal.
It's like stop just listening to every C-list celebrity that comes to you. It's like, oh, here's an idea for you.
Hey, he asked Mike White for a lot of ideas.
No, he was like, Mike White was like, is it funny? And he was like, oh, hourglass.
So this challenge, it is crazy when you have to do it with your feet. And we've seen this done in Survivor's past. Evie is in first place, but ends up dropping a piece of wood. Ricard is killing it.
I was watching Sydney and I dropped a piece of wood. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. It is. Sydney was very close. And that's the thing.
I was pretty close too.
And if you want to be close, bluechew.com. Promo code Survivor. They love it when
between,
you do that.
Between Ricard and Sydney, I mean, I was like, who's going to win this? And at the end, Ricard wins. I like watching Ricard has an intense but focused look on his face throughout this whole game. Whether he's strategizing, tribal council, his head is in this game, I think, more than anyone. As much as I love Shan and think he's a great or she's a great player,
she made a big mistake.
Ricard is just so dope. As a player.
I want more Ricard time.
I think we're going to.
I think so too. I think we're gonna see a shift. Like, it's either gonna be the Evie shift or the Shan shift, or I feel like those are his major competition on confessionals, and I think we're going to lose one of them.
Well, at this point, it's Liana that's like taking over the confessionals. But I think with her power gone, her confessionals are going to go down.
I think this is a one and done.
Well, it was her $1 million mistake again.
Again,
But like Ricard, you also see after the immunity challenge, like he's the one that they're letting on camera be like, "Hey, here's the idea that we should do." Moving forward,
and then you see the conversations based on his idea.
Yeah. Like he's the one who's putting the seed out there, and then they start spreading, and it goes with the theme that they've been saying. Like every single castaway who's been going out, it's like he's the mastermind. He's the mastermind. The mastermind doesn't get his hands dirty. He gives the idea and lets everyone else do.
But I still want more Ricard.
Yeah. I like it makes me fearful that he isn't the winner because they're not giving him. Confessionals.
It might flip over.
Yeah, we still got
We still got time.
I think all the time. Is it Ileana or Liana?
Liana.
All the time that Liana got tonight, I think is we're looking at a Ricard shift moving forward.
I would love that because I love Ricard. I love like his social media presence. Oh, yeah. He's probably one the him and Tiffany, I think, are the biggest like promoters of this show this season.
Well, that's sweet. So Ricard wins. And before we get to the chaos at camp leading up to Tribal Council, we are going to hear a word from our sponsors, and we'll be right back to cover the last half of this awesome episode. Stay tuned. We'll see you in a minute, you guys.
Autumn is in the air, the pumpkins are in the patch, and our friends at Manscaped are here to make sure you don't carve your pants pumpkins when you're grooming, if you know what I'm saying. Make sure you're keeping things fresh this fall with the leaders in male grooming and their brand new 4th generation performance package. Boys, get ready for cuffing season like no other. Ready to take the leap into fall with Manscaped? Join the 2 million men worldwide using Manscaped by going to manscaped.com for 20% off and free shipping with promo code SURVIVOR.
Now listen, I have had my fair share of mishaps in the past, and going into Halloween, the guys like to dress scary, the girls like to dress inviting, and as a result, you're bound to get your pants down if you do things right. Well, you don't want a big bush down there. You want those things freshly trimmed, shaved so perfectly. Don't use a razor. Go to Manscaped. It's the only way, or you will not be getting treats, but only tricks.
It's time to bundle up with the Manscaped Performance Package 4.0. Inside this package, you'll find their Lawnmower 4.0 trimmer, Weed Whacker ear and nose hair trimmer, Crop Preserver ball deodorant, Crop Reviver toner, Performance boxer briefs, and a travel bag to hold your goodies.
First off, the new Performance Package 4.0 includes the new Lawnmower 4.0. And if you're looking to cozy up this fall, this trimmer is essential.
Their 4th generation trimmer features a cutting-edge ceramic blade to reduce grooming accidents thanks to their advanced skin-safe technology. It also gives you the ability to turn a 4,000 LED spotlight on and off when needed for a more precise shave. Plus, it's waterproof.
I hate shaving in the dark. That 4,000 LED spotlight, perfect. But the Performance Package 4.0 also includes the Weed Whacker to chop your worst weeds up top in your nose and ear. So you use the Lawnmower 4.0 for your rear, use this for your ear. This nose and hair trimmer uses a 9,000 RPM motor-powered 360-degree rotary dual-blade system to provide proprietary skin-safe technology, which helps against nicks, snags, and tugs in those delicate holes.
Seal the deal with Manscaped's liquid formulations. The Crop Preserver Ball Deodorant. Everyone knows pumpkin spice lattes and ball deodorant go hand in hand.
That's all they're talking about at Target these days. It's crazy. Then after trimming the pumpkin patch and whacking the leaves, give your balls a boost and use the Crop Reviver. Manscaped even threw in 2 free gifts to their Performance Package 4.0, the Manscaped Boxers and Shed Travel Bag. You see me on the road, I have the Manscaped Shed Travel Bag with me everywhere I go. Get comfy on the home and on the go this season.
So get 20% off and free shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. That's 20% off plus free shipping with the code SURVIVOR at manscaped.com. Make your balls a priority this fall. Choose Manscaped. Your balls will thank you.
Promo code SURVIVOR. I've been trying to cut down on carbs, sugar, and unhealthy food, and realize I basically can't eat anything anymore. I mean, I used to love eating that delicious cereal, but I can't. But wait, I can, thanks to Magic Spoon.
0 grams of sugar, 13 to 14 grams of protein, and only 4 net grams of carbs in each serving. That's only 140 calories a serving.
It's keto-friendly, gluten-free, grain-free, soy-free, and low-carb. Plus, build your own box. Available flavors to build your very own custom bundle are cocoa, fruity, frosted, peanut butter, blueberry, cinnamon, cookies and cream, and my new favorite, maple waffle.
Magic Spoon just recently brought back 2 super popular flavors, cookies and cream and maple waffle. just like you're talking about, Johnny, permanently. When these flavors were first introduced for a limited time, they sold out extremely quickly. You should make sure to get these again and try them for the first time. They're delicious and indulgent.
Every morning I wake up, I look into my cabinets. All I have is Magic Spoon cereal. I have all the options. And I'll do a little bit of I'll mix some cookies of cream with a little cinnamon, maybe cocoa and peanut butter. But oh man, that maple waffle just by itself is just something so spectacular. Hey, they're perfect not only for breakfast, but that guiltless midnight snack.
So go to magicspoon.com/survivor to grab a custom bundle of cereal and try it today. And be sure to use our promo code SURVIVOR at checkout to save $5 off your order. And Magic Spoon is so confident in their product, it's backed with a 100% happiness guarantee. So if you don't like it for any reason, they'll refund your money, no questions asked.
Remember, get your next delicious bowl of guilt-free cereal at magicspoon.com/survivor and use promo code SURVIVOR to save $5 off. And thank you to Magic Spoon for sponsoring this podcast.
And we are back.
Thank you, Magic Spoon.
Yes. So before, Matt, before I let you go into the trap, I do want to say, right as we go into commercial for After the Immunity Challenge, the last person who gets a word in is Erica, who says, I'm no longer that little lamb. I'm back to playing like a lion. We don't hear from her for the rest of the episode.
Yes. She is the new and profound Erica. I'm King George. I love immunity. Are you guys ready? I'm ready. Oh, thanks, George.
I don't think we're going to get much of Erica.
We are not.
The rest of this
that,
season.
That was her moment.
Yeah, that was her moment. She had two episodes of fun with her viewing parties this week.
I think they're going to have a it's going to be like a double elimination episode. It's going to be like there's going to be a vote and Jeff go not so fast. We're doing one more vote right now. No talking.
And
then they're going to be like, oh, Erica.
Oh yeah. She's gone. She's gone. Yeah. So everyone goes back to camp and
she seems very nice, by the way.
Oh yeah,
she does. She does. And people are asking her when they go back to camp about how her time was on exile, etc.
but she seems very nice as a person in real life.
And then Liana, who has this knowledge of power, is talking in a confessional about how she has one shot to make the move of getting this, asking this question to the correct person. And this is all kind of leading up to what goes down this episode, which I absolutely loved and enjoyed. It made it exciting how tonight went down.
I love this is what we want to see.
Exactly.
Right. But like everything that happens in the course of this episode and like the ultimate failure of it is, I think, a big factor of her age. She was so gung-ho. She's this young, energetic kid, wants to play the game, has his advantage, desperately wants to use it on Xander, and she makes some elementary mistakes based off social cues. And she should, like, I was texting my friend about it. I was like, when Tiffany reveals she has the, I was like, that's the person you should have asked the entire time if they had it.
Well, no. I think when there's all that confusion, all that's going on there, like, I'm just like, Nasir.
I would have done that too, but yeah. I knew her logic.
I got her logic, but her logic, like, I guess she felt she saw it, so it's just like, fuck it, but.
And that was the mistake. I was like, if they're obviously showing it to you.
Yeah. That's why I'm like, but at the same time, like, I figured she knew what hers looked like, mm-hmm. and they had to look, I would imagine they would look identical. So maybe she was just.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line prop or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.
Like, oh, I guess they just look similar.
Well, right. But I'm talking about all the way back at camp.
Oh, yeah.
Like, well, when no, he's back, like, back at hey, camp. I'm going to have it right in my crotch.
Yeah, that was
freshly manscaped.
But I think she felt that she had just sold, she was just like, oh, man, I sold them so good. And it's just like, oh, no.
She was
like,
buying her. She was buying her own hype.
Yeah, because like Evie. I feel like Evie has a tell, and I felt like Evie was giving her the tell. Cause I'm like, is Evie playing both sides and letting Liana know that, you know, and it's, and you know, and then we get the confessional. She's like, I tricked her. I was like, ooh.
I knew something was going to go down when it was going to be like a 25-minute tribal council tonight, but leading up to, I mean, Danny is pissed about this whole twist. Cause Danny's like, man, we won. Why? And a lot of people online are on that Danny train of like, fuck, man, why even compete if you're going to switch this shit up? And Danny's pissed. And I don't fucking blame him.
Yeah.
And then...
it's season 41. You never know what can happen. But as I said, they're making a TV show. So
Deshaun being the kid that's good. And you know Jeff's loving, like, we have to put that in there so that people get it.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. No, keep that in there. Deshaun defending it. So. Mm-hmm. He's a team player. He's a Tory from the challenge.
But like I would say, in one way, yeah. But I'm like Deshaun. I think it's just more ready to play the game, and he's just like, okay, this sucks, but I need to pivot immediately. I can't like dwell in being pissed off because now my neck's on the line.
Okay, and similar thighs.
Yeah, similar thoughts.
So Ricard is throwing out, you know, Evie's name, thinks Nasir obviously has an idol. Ricard really has a just a really good vision of the game and what's going on. Deshaun's all on board, and Deshaun's talking to Liana about Evie. And then we see this conversation with Liana talking to Shan, and Shan is explaining the threat that Evie poses in this game, which I hope Evie doesn't go anytime soon. I really dig in Evie.
Yeah.
But we really have this tight alliance between Liana and Shan. And what do you guys think about, do you think that the alliance that we saw build up last week with Deshaun, Danny, Liana, and Shan, do you think that's going to be a sustainable alliance from here on out, or do you think it's going to fizzle out?
I mean, I think it's going to be one that at least works for a while. Mm-hmm. But, you know, it's Survivor. Like, especially this modern age of Survivor, it's not... We don't see a lot of alliances that stay true all the way to the end of the game.
But this People of Color alliance... That happened in Big Brother. The Camp Out Alliance. So that went all the way through. So could you see this on Survivor?
You could.
I like all four in that alliance. I think that that's an alliance I'm a big fan of now.
And let's so Russell Hantz, from what I had a tap. So I feel woefully as ignorant as Russell Hantz because I did not make it to the end of his podcast. But I from what I did see, you know,
his podcast.
Yes.
Oh, I didn't even listen to it.
No.
I just
saw the still shot of him looking like an idiot.
Okay. No spoilers here,
Jim. Oh, I'm sorry.
I was talking to someone in the chat. We don't like him. What I did catch from, like, you know, he's like, is black people working together? Look, people are looking for any reason in the world to work together. Mm-hmm. For the first time in the history of Survivor, there was the possibility, well, other than, you know, the two race divided seasons. So other than that, for the first time in the history of Survivor, where you have people of other cultures and race starting on different tribes and ending up at the merge with an opportunity to work together. You're looking for anything. If I'm a person of color, I'm looking for a person of color.
Mm-hmm. Just like I'm looking for someone with tattoos or music or whatever, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I don't think that's going to be a recurring theme forever. But to have that opportunity to be the first, it's just like, hey, man, this is something cool. And I wouldn't want to do something cool. Like, why do I want to do something that sucks? And we could do this, but should we? It's just like, yes, motherfucker, we should.
It's a game for $1 million. Yeah. So you do whatever you can do.
I feel like I would trust them more than anyone else. In that, as I said, there's just so much history. It's just like anyone that would fuck up history, that like you're really fucking up an alliance here.
Mm-hmm. Oh, you mean like Erica?
I feel like that's a solid deal.
Yeah. No, I agree. I agree. So, and we know Evie's a threat, and then we see a scene with Xander, Tiff, and Evie talking. Evie is bummed. She's like, "Oh my god! Like I was so close to winning this challenge." And Xander's like, "Don't worry about it. I got you. I will play my idol for you." Honestly, I think Xander's a smart player.
Xander's got stones. He does.
He's got big like.
It's like Vince McMahon wants it. Like I got grapefruits on under there. Like he was showing his grapefruits tonight.
He's young, but he's playing. I mean, he's great at challenges. He's got all these advantages, and he's like thinking about what is best on how to play these advantages.
He's like a really smart, a much smarter dude than you would anticipate him to be.
Oh, I mean, typically a player like this, like
is Devin.
But the thing is, yes. And then like JD, for example, earlier this season, doesn't have the brains and the composure that Xander has. JD was too excited about being Malcolm and Joey Amazing. And I like JD, but Xander, man, he's good.
I don't know if Xander's a mature player, but he's a smart player.
He has potential. He's someone in my mind who has potential. There's a lot of things with him that I think, like, if he can do decent here, give him a couple years, he's going to be that much better of a player. Yeah. If he gets that second chance opportunity.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. No, he's some, like, you know, they roll the dice on a Ozzy or a Malcolm or a Joey Amazing. If they're willing to roll dice on people again, that's the player. If I'm them, I roll the dice on
100% because he's not just a lot of times those type of players are just like, oh, they're badass at climbing coconut trees. Yeah,
but one but dimensional playing, as fuck.
Yeah, he's playing the whole game. He's a total package. So
as Alex said, just huge fucking ball. Like he's just like, we good, and I'm just like, damn, like. I mean, you don't know you're good. And he's like, I fucking know I'm good. I'm just like, damn, he knows he's good.
I know. I was just like, damn, that's just. But yeah, so we ultimately see them like talking about who they want to go for. And they're talking about the Luvu 3 of that group of Deshaun, Danny, and Sydney. Never hear a word about Danny. But they're like, Sydney, we think we can work with her. But let's go for Deshaun. He's the social player. He's like, and so we see that gap. Like, I love that they showed the previously on, Matt, Deshaun and Evie having their thing where Deshaun gets the extra vote because of Evie and Evie giving all that information. They both are like, cool, thanks for that. We're targeting each other now.
Yeah. That's crazy. So, but I mean, like, it was a limited, like, I feel like they did have something special up there. And then afterwards, they're like, yeah, there's a lot of special shit out here. So maybe that wasn't as special as it felt at the time.
Mm-hmm. Well, yeah. Xander knows about Liana's power advantage.
Yeah, so and as Sean says here, Deshaun did use his extra vote on Evie tonight.
Yeah. I think he split. He probably put one on Sydney, one on Evie.
I think they were both on Evie.
He did both on Evie. Okay.
I think so. Maybe I'm wrong. I thought they both said. I know the top one said Evie.
I missed it because I was too busy writing my notes down.
Yeah.
But Xander knowing about Liana's advantage is huge for Xander. And he said, man, I need to give this, you know, potentially to Evie. I honestly thought at the time he was just going to give it to Evie right then and there, which he didn't. And I love the fact of how this all went down.
Right.
Because when I'm watching with my family, when all this shit goes down, my kid's like, oh, fuck yeah. And that those moments in Survivor, like we've talked about before, when Godfather Carl plays the Idol Nullifier on Hot Cop Dan, that was a moment. We see a moment tonight. I don't think it was as epic as the Godfather Carl moment, but it was still epic.
I feel like it was more of a guess with Godfather Carl.
Right.
Yeah. There's no, there, like,
there isn't a guess. Well, there's still a guess now, but it's because, like this isn't to be ironic or anything, but knowledge is power. And when everyone knows about your knowledge is power advantage, it's essentially useless because now it becomes the Idol Nullifier where you're doing a shot in the dark and just hoping that person's actually holding the real thing.
Yeah, yeah, exactly.
And that possession is 9/10 of the law, like little loophole, I think, but you know.
Well, I mean, that's the rules of Survivor. If you're like, hey, you're holding on to the idol now. It's now, in terms of Survivor, it's now my idol.
Mm-hmm. That's true.
So Danny Xander are talking, saying that Evie's going to be safe. Xander tells Danny about the whole steal a vote thing. And then Danny goes and tells Liana and Sydney the whole plan. So Danny's like playing double agent.
Yep.
I'm saying is, I know. I'm just saying you think like, oh man, Danny's gonna work with Xander, it's all gonna be cool, but no, he spills the beans.
Yeah, the ball's on Xander. Once again, this is the first moment of it where they're like they're reconvening after the first or last week's episode where they were starting to build that relationship, and Danny's like, well, we know it's gonna be either one of your people or one of mine, and Xander just deadpan just goes back to him like, well, I'm going to tell you this. It's not going to be Evie.
Yeah.
And the rest of us are safe. So,
I mean, yeah.
And Danny wasn't expecting that. He was just like, oh.
Oh, all right. Okay. This kid has a few more hairs on his balls than I anticipated. And Xander goes, no, they're Manscaped. Promo code Survivor.
They love it when I do that.
So when Liana goes talking to Shan, going over like they roll out the scroll, and Liana's like, okay, let's read this and make sure we know exactly how this is going to go down. It is smart.
Like there could have been a part of this clue that we could have potentially heard for the first time tonight, and it would have been like an Amazing Race moment in which they're sitting there. They go, man, like, what are we doing wrong? It's just like, I don't know, read the clue. And they're like, oh, it said this. Mm-hmm. So it wasn't that, but always safe than sorry. Mm-hmm. I wear 2 condoms when I go out in Philadelphia. Always.
But yeah, it is very smart.
And that is
smart, Johnny. You don't want to get any, venereal diseases, genital warts, etc. When banging those in Philadelphia, I suppose, correct? Yeah. So we see Xander, Liana, and Evie talking. Xander shows his idol, trying to convince Liana
Right before Tribal, we have Liana explain to us that she's going to be the next Sandra or Parvati. And spoiler alert, she is neither.
No,
I don't know. She might win, but tonight she was not.
Mm-hmm. I don't know with all these $1 million mistakes she's making.
I know she's made $2 million. Like, this chick is, even if she wins, she owes money.
I didn't pick up the advantage that was at my foot, and now I used my own advantage incorrectly.
Yeah.
It's all because of Xander.
But we do have the blue tribe going to tribal for the first time, and you know, it's Jeff's like, hey, you know, for those of you who haven't been here, you know, what's it like? And I think it would be, I mean, for me on Pearl Islands, we didn't go to tribal until like, I think around this time, like day 14, and we were we wanted to go so bad, and then you know, to go and find out, we found out before we left there. The guy that designed Star Wars Episode 1, one of the set designers, he designed our tribal council.
Oh, cool.
So it's just like, of all the fucking tribal councils, I feel like this is the fucking best.
Yeah.
And totally. So that was a moment. So Danny's like, you know, this is surreal. And, you know, and he's like, I've played in a lot of big arenas. I was like, what? So, but I guess I'm sitting here at this point going, does everyone know he played in the NFL? Or
I think he said he played in college.
I was about to say he has the out with the college ball. He's just like, hey man, Texas Tech. It's just as big as Cincinnati versus Cleveland.
Well, you go down to the swamp in Florida.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, yeah. He said it's his top five kind of deals because you're facing your opponents right there at Tribal Council. Tribal Council is intense as hell. And for me, when I played as a huge fan of Survivor, I didn't want to be at Tribal Council, but I was like, oh my God, we're at fucking Tribal Council, man.
I love Tribal Council.
Crazy.
I got to learn to play. Here's where I can work my magic.
Mm-hmm. But also, a key piece of information before we move forward to Tribal is like, we didn't get a lot of Sydney during the scramble round, except for the very end where she's like, I will do anything to protect myself. And maybe it's because I'm very self-obsessed, but you know what? I'm self-obsessed. So mm-hmm.
Like her, have you guys follow her Instagram?
I do. Yep.
She's a lot of fun.
Mm-hmm. Oh yeah.
Like I love her. Like I love her confidence. I love her attitude. I love that she's hot as balls. I mean, like hotter than balls technically, but I mean, she's just hot and she's hilarious. So, and she loves herself and I love her too.
Yeah. Like people are going to hate on her. And like, really, there's really, in my mind, there's nothing to hate about her that you've seen on this season. It's like, she's she's a female Tyson. Like very high in their own supply. And guess what? That's okay to be high on your own supply and just be like, it's also, she's very self-aware. She says, oh, I'm self-obsessed. I understand that I'm this.
Yeah.
I'm good with that.
She's not Angelina. She's a badass. I mean, like watching her fish and watching her in every challenge.
Oh yeah. I would say one of the better pre-merge people.
I put like, if I'm doing a US versus Australia season, like right now, and they allow the recency, I'm throwing her on a US track.
Oh yeah, it's just for a physicality aspect. Yeah. You would need her.
I think there's so many players that have been on season 41 that could have been destined for greatness if they've lasted. You know what I mean? Like Voce, Sydney. I even think Brad would have been funny as fuck to watch at the end of the game. I think there's a lot of players.
I mean, it's not like I hate who's left.
No.
Right. It's a great cast. Just keep showing them.
Oh yeah.
Yeah, right.
Oh no, the knowledge is power was used. So we're gonna watch next episode. It's like two segments. Let's get three more advantages out there.
Let's get three more advantages.
That's what the people want.
You think we can work in four challenges?
That's a lot of going over and under stuff.
And then a puzzle.
And then we haven't seen a puzzle yet.
We haven't. So Tiffany, you know, makes a comment on how crazy season 41 is. You know, Shan's talking about, you know, going through the numbers and how it's down to relationships. And then we see Evie is kind of blatantly talking at Tribal. And Johnny Fairplay has said this time and time again. He keeps his mouth shut at Tribal. Evie's kind of throwing her cards out on the table here, showing her relationship with Xander and just kind of, I don't know, as much as I think Evie's pretty smart.
Well, no, I think it was all a part of the bait for Shane and Liana. And in that aspect, it worked. But at the same time, it opened the door for Deshaun going, if you want to talk so much about how great and how honest you are, I'm more than happy to comment real quick. And it was one of those like, ooh, foot meets mouth. Here we go. Mm-hmm.
But it's also just like this whole part where that she very blatantly taps Xander, calls Xander out like, oh, I know this Jungle Boy is going to protect me. Like, yes, everyone knows that he had the idol. But I'm like, even if you had any suspicion that he was handing it off, the instant I see that at Tribal, I'm like, there's no fucking way he has it. Like, it's the same premise of when you try to vote someone out, but you think there's an advantage. You don't take out the first person. You don't take out the second. You take out the third. It's like the Winners at War episode where Ethan goes home. Yeah. So of that three, I feel in that environment, I would have, if I was dead set on taking their idol, I would have ended up saying Tiffany. It's just like my own shot in the dark. Be like, I really don't think he has the balls to still be holding it. even with him showing it to her. I'll be like, Tiffany, do you have the idol?
Yeah, ooh. I mean, it's interesting. Well, I mean,
that's easy for me to say.
It is.
Where are they getting these arts and crafts to make fake fucking immunity idols?
I don't fucking know.
Don't people say like they like break it off of like the tribe flags?
Which
and,
they
like,
could
like challenges.
They
like,
could. There's and on your little okay. bags, there's beads and shit. But
still, I mean, like for
he
for
made Liana a really good one
for Liana. He did. Or no, Liana didn't have one. Who had? So maybe Shanna has never shown Liana hers.
Well, I think she saw Xander's before, or at least saw the note, maybe.
It's good enough to pull out in the moment, dude. You're at tribal. You're stressed out.
If I had seen it before, I'm taking a good gander before I'm saying Xander.
Right.
So Xander pulls it out, and he has it wrapped up in like the idol clue. He's got the whole nine going on, and so Liana just says, fuck it, I'm going to read my knowledge of power right here. And this is the moment that makes it all worthwhile this episode. Because when she asks Xander, do you have the idol? He says no. And they go back in time, that which they've been doing this a lot this season, going back and showing what happened previously.
Yeah,
and it showed Xander's whole entire plan. Yeah,
not only not giving it to Evie, but giving it to Tiffany. I thought it was a great
play.
The move.
Great play.
But then Ezra like, no, but you could have this fake.
Yeah.
I love that. It's like,
so as much as this. I really am not liking a million advantages and this and that, but in this episode, I like that Erica hit the hourglass and I like that Xander pulled this shit off. And this is what I want to ask you. I know Alex and I talked briefly before we came on live, but, once Xander, you know, this whole thing goes on, you're like, holy shit, tribal goes live. Everyone is standing up. Jeff's just sitting there. I got a front row seat for this shit. A lot of people get annoyed by live tribals. Alex made a point to where in this situation, based off the circumstances, he's fine with it. Where do you stand, fair play, on this tonight's live tribal that went down?
I don't typically like it. And tonight was no exception. I like the first second of it.
Right.
Yeah. I mean,
but I would have been like, if I'm Jeff, I'm like, you got 3 seconds. Sit your fucking ass down.
Yeah. I mean, it was funny because
I felt like it was too many conversations that there's nothing spontaneous. Like they'd already worked out everything. Mm-hmm. Like when Danny does that last, I'm switching it. Y'all listen. This is it. That's it.
It was Deshaun. So like, since I was the one who said I liked it, I should at least give my reasons why that I liked it.
Yeah.
It showed a lot of live tribal can turn great players into very bad players. So Shan made a very bad error in the first one when they like all talk and they're like, okay, we're going to do Sydney now. It's going to be Sydney right before they sit down. I don't know for what reason she does this. She goes to Tiffany and says, Tiffany, we're voting Sydney now.
Yeah.
Like,
and Sydney was right behind Tiffany when she said it.
Yeah. And I'm like, I saw her doing that. And I've been a big Shan defender like for her game because some people are like, oh, she's making really bad moves. I'm like, that's a bad mistake. To the point where Deshaun's like, we need to have another live round right now because you just told Tiffany. So, and Nasir, stop talking to them. Come over here, my child.
Yeah, Nasir, get over here. What are you doing?
Nasir. I am also Nasir. Come over here. Come over here. We're talking. We're splitting it. Doesn't matter if they have the idol. We're splitting it. We see what happens here. But what I found very interesting, it didn't pan out. But right before they sit down, after doing all that work, Tiffany pulls Nasir over and talks to him very briefly. We don't hear what they say. But I was like, I was writing furiously in my notes, like, Nasir, you just lost your emptiness. Don't talk to Tiffany. Wait till after.
Yes.
But it is true. It's like, it's interesting because as I'm watching Survivor, as I do, it's a family night. It's really the only TV show that myself, my wife Tessa, and my two boys watch together.
Do you have the Brazzers channel?
No, I do not. But I always ask my kids what their opinion is because they're the new generation of fans, right? So my one son's like, these live tribals, like, this is the type of shit that you want to hear back at camp. Like, yeah, that is the shit that you want to fucking hear prior to tribal council. So I'm hoping that it doesn't continue. Because I'm fine with it.
To be fair, Deshaun tried to make that conversation before tribal, but like a lot of the rest of the group, like, you're fine. You're overthinking this. But Deshaun was right on the money for each and every single thing. He's like, no, it needs to be Sydney. Let's make it Evie. And then he ultimately goes like, let's just split it.
Yeah.
One of them will go.
So I want to explain to the people listening to this podcast how Survivor worked on Karamoan, for example. Live tribal was a no-no. It's like you are in the same with Fair Play. I know in his seasons, you're at camp leading up to tribal. You're waiting on the boat to come pick your ass up and you're strategizing and you're trying to make shit happen. And then it's a gag order. You got to be in complete silence. It's on fucking lockdown and you got to stop talking. And literally,
Game Changers the first season.
Yes, JT broke the rules.
I was about to say, like,
so you go
that only happened on a returnee season because they knew what they could get away with. Not,
but then
like,
Jeff loved it.
Yeah, and when you're a newbie, they scare you. It's
they
just,
do
like,
scare you,
know,
you but we're
fucking see that that's the
but
rule.
Even on the fans' favorites, the returnees technically could break the rules. But what I'm saying is, it's a gag order.
Yeah, but there's a confidence and an arrogance of a returning player, especially JT, a previous winner. He's like, I can do whatever the fuck I want. I fucking won this game.
And when it first happened,
but Jeff popped for it. But I mean, like, these guys, they're pretty brazen to be like, you know, if they did it, we can do it. And it's just like, I bet just everybody sit down, whether you've been there before or not.
I hope they put a stop to it. Yeah,
they're not going to. Jeff loves the moment of it. So if Jeff loves it, it's remaining on the show.
Which
he's not
is fucking crazy
it.
Because he was pissed as hell. If you tried to do fucking anything like that on when I played,
well, and that's he was still only a host then. I think it was after your season where he also got the executive producer power.
I think he was pretty involved. I think he was a producer, not executive producer. Yeah, he was a producer.
He's calling all the shots now.
I mean, it was him and that Dave Burris guy were the main. I never met Mark Burnett at all the entire time. It was Probst and that Burris dude who was in charge of the whole fucking thing. All I'm saying is tonight it's fine. I liked the Xander pulling off the trickery with Tiffany and Evie. I like that moment. Overall, I was entertained this episode. Some stuff I was like, and like I said, we're watching Australian Survivor, which is so much better. But it was decent. I mean, for those that are saying, fuck this, I'm over it. I hate it. I mean, we're getting Survivor, you guys.
Yeah. Like, be happy. Like, I shouldn't just say be happy and watch it. Like, you can be critical of the show.
Be happy or don't be. If you don't like it, don't watch it.
You can be critical. Don't be a fucking dumbass about your criticism, though. It's like there's a way to be, like, critical and also still enjoy the show. But, like, I don't want to end the show without actually saying what the end result was. So, like, we finally see someone use the shot in the dark,
which was mentioned twice tonight.
Yeah, so you knew it was going to be
Jeff mentioned it after the immunity challenge, and then it's brought up at the beginning of tribal.
Yep.
So two reminders of it for those of you worried or confused or concerned, and Sydney of all, like, you're too hot to use that. It's shitty odds.
It's shitty. It's like, I know they say it's the same percentage of odds. It's worse odds for you. Have 10 chances now of picking a not safe thing instead of 5. And but Sydney says something that's very important that I hope other people heard while she was muttering it under her breath. It was like, I should have just kept my vote. Yep. And like, maybe she panics and votes Evie, even though I feel like she would have voted Deshaun and she still goes home there. But it goes back to what Shant said at the final three of Ua. She was like, at this point in the game, when you look at what the shot in the dark is, your vote is more valuable than the opportunity to potentially be safe by chance.
So I
love this because it's showing all these advantages that they wanted to throw into the game and none of them working. So it's like,
you like that.
So all the people, all the players are gonna be like, well, why the fuck would I do this when it won't work?
Well, I think it's crazy because there's no one even played their idol. So, like, there's the a lot of shit still in
the stones
in the deal. On that man. And but Xander's logic was right to a sense, but I thought it was about to be like, oh, Sydney is actually going to be the one with four votes. Evie gets the five. Evie goes because Xander was too confident that his worked too well. His play worked, and he fucking knew it.
Yeah. What I love, the best closer of this episode was when Sydney is talking about how I'm so glad I'm not going to be on the jury because I don't want to ever see these fucking people ever again. That was some gangster ass shit.
Maybe that's immature, but I'm okay with that.
And my life is 5,000 gajillion times better than this.
Yes.
And it is. Look at her Instagram. Her life is fucking perfect.
It is. Yeah. It is.
But and she'll still go back.
Oh yeah,
yeah. She
would. And like she's a personality. Like let's be real. Like it like going back to fucking also. If they brought a pre-merge boot like Boston Rob onto a returnee season, like there's no window that they won't do now. Like they brought Francesqua over for 26 when she was a first boot.
Mm-hmm.
Like if you're a good TV character, you're on the list.
She's like better Stephanie.
Stephanie LaGrosa?
Yeah.
I like Sydney.
Please don't tell me that in like 10 seasons she has a pizza place trying to sell her pizza stuff on the reunion.
Yeah.
Well, all I know is I was entertained.
Yep.
It's Survivor. It is what it is. Like Johnny said, if you don't like it, don't watch it. We're going to keep podcasting about it. And Johnny, you got any last minute things to plug before we wrap this thing up?
Nope. Congrats, Matt Vail, winner of the Ricard pick. I'll be tomorrow. Join me, Alex, and Lauren. We'll be talking the challenge at 4:30 tomorrow.
Yep.
And I will have a challenge autograph picture to give away on that one. So join us live at 4:30 p.m. Subscribe at youtube.com/realitynsfw. And as always, you know, please check out all of our sponsors, Manscaped, Blue Chew, Magic Spoon, and Lucy. But the best way to support the podcast is become a patron. Try it for 1 month. If you don't like it, let me know. I will refund your money. No one is held captive. We have a lot of really awesome people that are a member of the patron group and part of the Reality SW patron community. And it's a really cool group. We have a secret private Facebook group, and it's a lot of fun each and every week. As a lot of you know that our patrons or have been patrons in the past, the Q&A is Matt and I's favorite podcast of the week, and watching Australian Survivor each and every week and talking about it on an exclusive podcast there as well is really cool. So try it for 1 month. Go to adfreensfw.com.
And also, if you guys want a deeper dive into season 41, Alex, tell them where they can find that.
So on a date TBD, because their schedule has been in flux for like the past month. If you want a deeper dive, Alex Rubino and Lauren Pratt do the Deep Dive podcast. They have a Survivor guest every time. They do rankings. They dig into the episode. You might get Alex Rubino hating on production for a good 5 minute rant. Who doesn't like a good rant? But yeah, it's entertaining. It gives it more perspectives on the show than outside of just what myself, Matt, and Johnny have at the moment.
Last week was T-Bird. Mama C was on the season. Janet Corbin. So Brett LaBelle, Johnny Fairplay. You never know who's going to show up there. So just never click the subscribe button and you will see it first.
Right on, and we will see you guys next week on another episode of Survivor Season 41. Cheers, and a final word from our sponsors. Love you guys.
Lucy Nicotine is a company founded by Caltech scientists and former smokers looking for a better and cleaner nicotine alternative. Finally, tobacco alternatives that don't suck.
Researched and developed for 3 years to be made for people, not patients. Lucy has created a nicotine gum with 4 milligrams of nicotine that comes in 3 flavors, wintergreen, cinnamon, and pomegranate. Lucy also has a lozenge with 4 milligrams of nicotine in cherry ice flavor. Each and every flavor actually tastes great and it's convenient and discreet. Products can be enjoyed anywhere on flights, at work, on the go, or even in the gym.
I am so happy that Lucy is sponsoring us. Ever since they came on board, I have gotten no less than 5 of my friends transitioned over to Lucy and put their cigarettes down. They like the gum. I'm used to seeing the packages all around. This stuff is great, and it's really helping people make much healthier choices. So get on board and join the Lucy movement.
Hey, it's 2021. Get rid of your cigarettes, unplug your vape, throw out your dip, and get some Lucy nicotine gum or lozenges. This is the real deal. A subscription to Lucy comes directly to your door each month. It's so simple that you don't even have to leave your house because Lucy has delivery down.
Reality NSFW listeners, go to lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR to get 20% off all products, including gum or lozenges. That's lucy.co and use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Also, I have to give this disclaimer. Warning, this product contains nicotine derived from tobacco. Nicotine is an addictive chemical. That's lucy.co and be sure to use that promo code Survivor.
This episode of Reality NSFW is sponsored by Blue Chew. Say it with us, Blue Chew. Blue Chew is making waves and bringing more confidence to the bedroom by offering chewable tablets that can help men get stronger and longer lasting erections. That's right, we're giving away super hard dicks.
Blue Chew is a unique online service that delivers the same active ingredients as Viagra and Cialis, but in chewable form and at a fraction of the cost. Blue Chew's tablets help men achieve harder, stronger erections to combat all forms of ED.
Blue Chew is an online prescription service, so no visits to the doctor offices, no awkward conversations, and no waiting in line at the pharmacy. And it ships right to your door in a discreet package. The process is simple. Sign up at BlueChew.com, consult with one of their licensed medical providers, and once you're approved, you'll receive your prescription within days. And the best part, it's all done online.
BlueChew's licensed medical providers work with you to find the right ingredient and strength for your prescription. Don't like swallowing pills? No problem here. BlueChew's Sildenafil and Tadalafil tablets are chewable. Blue Chew's tablets are made in the USA and they prepare and ship direct, so it's cheaper than a pharmacy.
Hey, if you're looking to give that immunity idol to someone or you don't want to be voted out of a crater, don't worry. Blue Chew's got you covered. So if you could benefit from extra confidence when it's time to perform, visit BlueChew.com for more details and important safety information.
And we've got a special deal for our listeners. Try Blue Chew free when you use promo code SURVIVOR at checkout. Just pay $5 shipping. That's Blue Chew, BlueChew.com, promo code SURVIVOR to receive your first month free. And we thank Blue Chew for sponsoring the podcast.
Enjoy all your favorite sports like never before at BetMGM. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. When you register with BetMGM, you'll get instant access to a variety of parlay selection features, live betting options, and the best daily promotions in the business. And with BetMGM at your fingertips, every play and every game matters more than ever. Place your money line, prop, or parlay bets with the king of sportsbooks today. Sign up using code Buckeye and receive up to $1,500 back in bonus bets if you don't win your first bet. BetMGM and GameSense remind you to play responsibly. 21 plus and present in Ohio, subject to eligibility requirements. Rewards are non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire in 7 days. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER in partnership with MGM Northfield Park.